Several announcements and concerns for you. First of all, I want you to remember Randy Goodman. Randy is up at Forsyth Medical Center in Winston, having some trouble with an infection. Talked with him yesterday. Hopefully things are going to head in a little better direction. And just keep him in your prayers, if you will. Nancy's actually home. She's doing a little bit better. Talked with her the other day. She seemed to be doing a little bit better. So things is heading better. Looks like Vera's doing good. And Hubert's not. Out of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please be seated if you would. At this time, we'll have our children come forward for the children's message. I hope everybody will take the words of that hymn to heart. That is probably the greatest hymn in the church. Take it to heart.
Morning. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Y'all doing good? Good. So we have a pretty cool day today, right? Did you hear what Pastor was saying what today is? It's Reformation Sunday, right? Yeah, and so Reformation talks about Martin Luther and a couple other people back in the 1500s, and they did something pretty cool. They realized what was going on. Martin Luther was the first one to realize what was going on in the Bible and how we were missing a couple of things. And do you know how he did that? It was way before we were born, yeah. I don't think anybody here was there.
Maybe one or two.
Maybe one or two? No, I don't think anybody was there because it was a couple hundred years ago. But Martin Luther realized that a lot of folks were thinking that we had to earn God's salvation, right? But the Bible says that we can't do that, that we can't earn or keep our own salvation. And do you know how he did that? Do you know how he realized that? How? Do you know? He didn't do it by himself. And that's the whole point of the stuff that we believe here in church and what the Reformation did. What color do y'all see around? With the pastor and the choir and red. And red symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And so it's the Holy Spirit working in Martin Luther and some other folks that made him realize that we can't do anything on our own to earn or keep our salvation. Uh-huh. Yes, Jesus was his help. Yep, and he realized that we need more than just help. We need God to do it all for us. And that's what the Bible talks about. He probably was tired because he had a lot of stuff to do. Yeah. But that's the whole point of what we believe in the scriptures, what we see the scriptures say, is that God is the one who saves us and he does it all for us. And we can't do anything to earn it. So what we do in response to that is we just love God and love other people the way Jesus tells us to. Can y'all remember that? Can y'all remember that we can't do anything to earn or keep our salvation? So what we do is we thank God for it, and we realize that it's a gift from God, and we love God and love other people. Can y'all do that? Yeah? Okay. So remember that here on Reformation Sunday and every day, okay? All right, let's pray, and you can get a sucker, okay? Dear Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you give us our salvation and our faith as a gift, and we just ask that you help us to always love you and other people. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all, you can get a sucker. Yikes. Please stand if you're able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord,
Let us pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort them in all temptation. Defend them against all enemies of your word, and bestow upon the church your saving peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Let's pass the peace of God to one another.
Our first reading this morning comes from the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation. I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." Here ends the reading.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Let's now read responsively Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and the mountains be toppled to the depths of the sea.
Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its tumult.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be overthrown. God shall help her at the break of day.
The nations make much ado, and the kingdoms are shaken. God has spoken, and the earth shall melt away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now and look upon the works of the Lord, what awesome things he has done on earth.
It is he who makes war to cease in all the world. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shield with fire.
Be still, then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Our second reading comes from the third chapter of the book of Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Here ends the reading.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And now the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated if you would. This time I would ask you to join me in just a moment of prayer. Most precious God, we thank you for this wonderful Reformation Day and the heritage that you have given us and the gospel of Jesus Christ that you have called us to proclaim to this dying and hurting world. And we pray today that you might give us words to say, that these seeds might fall upon willing ears. And we pray today, God, that you might help us to grow in you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. But what can you say about Reformation Sunday? There's a lot of things we could talk about today. We could talk about how the Reformation itself has changed the entire world. I actually did a thing a couple of years ago on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation in 2017. I actually did an entire service, if you will, up at Christiana, revolving around the effects of the Reformation upon our world, and they are great and there are many. But I want to actually focus on the spiritual ramifications of what has happened because of the Reformation over 502 years ago. God calls people at certain times. God calls people, the right people who are needed at that certain time in history. He is calling us at this time in history, but he has called people like Luther. He has called others in their time. I'll give you some examples that may be a little closer to our time. I certainly believe that when we were facing, during World War II, the situations that we were facing, that God sent people like President Roosevelt, General Patton, General MacArthur, other people who God knew what we needed at the time. Now, sometimes when you're living through historical events, you don't realize the importance of them. I don't think Luther truly realized the momentous moment that he was living in, just as I don't think those who fought in World War II realized at the time the momentous moment that they were living through and that they were participating in. Now, later, I think they may have had time for that, but sometimes you're just trying to survive. You're just trying to get through the day. And we, my friends, are living in momentous times ourselves. This is a very special time. But let's look at the time of Luther and how that has affected us and how we have a legacy that we need to continue on and through. One of the first questions that was ever asked in my seminary class was this: how does a man named Jesus Christ, a first century Jew, how does he affect, or how is he important in this time, in the 21st century? What does he mean to us? Well, I'm going to ask the question again. What does Luther mean to us? What does this Reformation mean to us? And it means much. And we need to really take it to heart today. As I told you, the words of a mighty fortress, those are words that I hope you will really consider and look at when you have a little more time. Please look at them. God has called us forever to fight for Him. There is a battle brewing, and we are in the midst of it, and it is not truly done as of this time. But Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. A lot of people in this postmodern age, as a matter of fact, is Dr. Bill Leonard, one of my theology professors, one of my church history professors, had told us he thought we might even be in a post-postmodern world. The joke always was that if you would give the answer postmodernism on a test, you would actually get partial credit. Now, that was not true, by the way, but that was always the standing joke at the university. But Dr. Leonard said that we had gone from the modern age, which was Luther's age. He actually preceded the modern age a little bit. He is still in that medieval age. The modern age, which gives us science, which gives us logic. It gives us many things of the foundation of which our society is built upon and in which we have entrusted for many years. And then we have moved into today what is called a postmodern age. And as Dr. Leonard put it, maybe even a post-postmodern age. In fact, I might even argue today, probably 10, 12 years after Dr. Leonard made those statements, that maybe we're in a post-post-postmodern age. I'm not quite sure. But here's the thing. People do not understand truth. And in this postmodern age, truth can be fluid. It can be fluid. Have you heard a statement lately that has entered into our vernacular? And it is this. You will hear it a lot. I must tell my truth, or they must tell their truth. Sorry. There is only one truth, and that is the truth. And if you want to really get down to the truth, Jesus is the truth. He stands in front of Pilate, a man of great power, a man who could have had him killed at any moment, and did eventually have him executed. And Pilate asks a great question. Pilate actually should be commended for asking the question that he asks. He says, what is truth? What is truth? I really think, now I may be wrong, and maybe this is inferring a little bit, but I really think that Pilate wanted to really know what was truth, because he had heard all these things from his Roman society, handed down from the Greeks. And he had heard all of these things in this Jewish community about who God was. And he had heard all the myths surrounding the ancient world. And he says, what is truth? And here's the thing. He was looking right at the truth. And he couldn't see the forest for the tree. For the truth is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. You see, there is only one truth. There are no other ways to God but through Jesus. I don't care who tells you otherwise. I'm not against other people. I am not against other religions. I have learned a lot. I have studied religions in the marketplace. I have studied Buddhism. I have studied Islam. I have studied Taoism. I have studied many ancient religions. Zoroastrianism. I actually got to meet a Zoroastrian once. It was a fascinating conversation. But unfortunately, there is one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is only one truth. And what does Jesus say? And the truth will set you free. What does he mean by being set free? Here is the problem we have in the Christian church today. We have many people who live in bondage to sin today. I grew up in it. I grew up in a graceless Christianity. You see, I had to say a prayer. I had to ask Jesus into my life. And guess what? I found out that no matter how much I ask. We talked about this in Sunday school a little bit. You were supposed to have a feeling. You were supposed to feel it. I didn't feel nothing. Oh, you were supposed to trust in that. No, you can only trust in one thing, in Jesus. And the problem with that type of theology is this. It's a works-based theology. And I was taught to work. This is what Luther was fighting against, works-based theology. The church now and then gets itself into trouble and needs to be reformed. And we are in a moment such as that right now. They were teaching that you could buy salvation. I believe, if I understand my history correct, I think it was Philip of Hesse. I believe it was Philip who said that when the coin clangs in the bottom of the jar, a soul is released from purgatory. The coin clangs. Now, what kind of theology is that? Buying something, you can't buy it. You can't get it on your own. It must be paid for in another way. And it was paid for on a cross. The truth is that a cross, a man named Jesus Christ, who is God's perfect man, man's perfect God, all wrapped up into one, paid the price for you and me upon a cross. That, my friends, is truth. And that man died wholly, completely. He didn't just pass out. This wasn't just some scheme that the disciples and Jesus had concocted. No, he really died. And what was buried, as the creed says, and then what? He descended into hell, or the place of the dead, as some like to call it. But he descended there and took that punishment for us. He died fully, completely. That's the truth. Why? So that you and I don't have to die fully and completely. He took the punishment for us. And we don't have to live in bondage worrying about our salvation. Am I saved? Is my sin covered? Has God redeemed me? Has God justified me? That was all my early days in my faith were surrounded with. And I discovered the same thing that Luther discovered. He would go to his confessor multiple times, and his confessor would tell him, don't come back, Luther, till you got something juicy. You haven't even done nothing good yet. Go out and do something good. You haven't even sinned. And he would beat himself with his own little cat of nine tails until blood would come out from his back, punishing himself for penance. That's what they did in those times. That was how you did penance. You had to hurt yourself in some way, shape, manner, or form. We have the same thing today where it's works-based. And people are trying to work their way into heaven. They believe that they can just pray a prayer and all is good. No, they're trusting in that. Your trust must be in Christ. And Luther himself finally discovered and finally figured out he could never be good enough. If you're trying to be good enough for Jesus, if you think you can ever be good enough for Jesus, you're going to be waiting a long time, because none of us can ever be good enough for Jesus. Not me, not you, not the vicar, not the bishop, not anybody can ever be good enough for salvation. Never. We can't do a work good enough. The law teaches us that. It is our schoolmaster. It teaches us that we are sinners. It convicts us of our sins. And it lets us know this great and this wonderful thing, that we need a Savior. And who is that Savior? Jesus Christ, the Lord. He is our Savior. And once God has taken care of all these things, he paid the price and he did it once and for all. You don't have to beat yourself with a cat of nine tails. You don't have to go out and do penance for God constantly. No, that sacrifice is being paid for. And in the waters of baptism, that is the delivery method for this salvation, for you to become part of the body of Christ and for you to enter in to Jesus, into his spiritual body, and to become part of him. And from that day forward, you are part of him. A lot of people like to talk about the mark of the beast. Oh, they like to talk. There's a greater mark. And it's the mark. It's the sign of the cross that we make upon you in baptism. That's greater than any mark of any beast can ever be. And many children, when they come forward for their blessing, I give them this blessing. I give several different blessings to the children. But one I give is you are marked and you are signed and sealed with the cross of Christ forever. You can't get rid of him, and he's not going to get rid of you. Your baptism, as I explained to the children, is like your belly button. You can't get rid of your belly button, and neither can you get rid of your baptism. It follows you everywhere you go. It follows you even when you're not doing the right things, even when you are trying to get away from God. It's still following you, and it's still with you. You can't get rid of God. Some of you could probably vouch for that personally through the lives that you have lived. You tried your best to get away, but eventually it catches up with you. And this is the eternal gospel. This is the message that we need to spread, that you don't have to be in bondage to sin any longer, that you can be set totally free by Jesus Christ. And it says this, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You're free. And now you no longer have to worry of your salvation. And guess what that does? That frees you up now so that now you can go out and do the works of God. Now you can be the priesthood of all believers that God has called you to be. Now you can be the hands of God in this community. Now you can go and spread the gospel and the message of Christ to this hurting and this dying world. Because you, my friends, have been set free. Those chains of sin and bondage have been broken. And don't ever let them chains come back upon you. And don't cast chains upon yourself, because God has taken it. Whom God has set free is free. Don't ever bind yourself. Many people have bound themselves. They have bound themselves with worrying of salvation, of worrying of things that they can do to win it. You can't ever win your salvation. It was won for you by Jesus Christ our Lord. He won salvation for you. He gained that great and that wonderful thing for you. You can't do it on your own. That's the message. That's the gospel message. There is hope. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. And I pray today that you might go forth in freedom, not bound by anything in your life, not bound by any past sins, not bound by anything that you have ever done, not bound by society, not bound by your own personal self, your family, or anything else, but that you go forth in freedom proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, doing the work that he has called you to do. That is my prayer for you today and always, that you will go forth in freedom. And I pray that you'll rejoice in this freedom. For once you know you're free, it should be a gracious and a joyous time. And I pray today that the joy and the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would be upon you as you go forth in freedom. Amen. Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord. For he is the true Passover Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join your unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and the suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit that by this Holy Communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated if you would. We'll have a continuous communion today. We invite all baptized Christians to join us in this Holy Supper. And we do have a gluten-free option. If you need so, just let us know. For the post-communion blessing. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you. keep you in his grace, and lead you into eternal life. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and grant you peace. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.